Hello, Hope Grown Faith. Welcome to our Monday Mom Mentor, a live one, because I finally figured out the technology, where we are equipped and encouraged to help our kids grow in their faith. So today I'm introducing Alicia Michelle, and Alicia helps Christian women build emotional confidence. She's a lot of stuff that she's been doing. She is an ICF certified life coach and a neuro coach, which you are going to have to tell me about because I don't know what that is. She is also the author of a book called Emotional Confidence, which sounds awesome. And she's a popular conference speaker and a multi-award-winning podcast host. Wow. Of the top-ranked podcast, The Christian Mindset Coach with Alicia Michelle. So she's equipped tens of thousands of people with practical, brain, and biblically-based tools to manage emotions and rewire toxic thought patterns. That sounds amazing. For more calm and confidence and joy. And I can't wait to hear more from you. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh my gosh, it's so fun to be here. Thanks for everyone watching. I'm excited to have this discussion and we'll see what God does as we talk.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about the story of how this kind of became the thing that you talk about?
Yes. So I am a mom as well, along with all the things that you said. I'm a mom. I've been married to my husband for almost 25 years. So that's a really great thing. We live in Southern California and my kids are a little older now, 22, 20, 17, and 13, but we did homeschool for a long time. And so I relate to a lot of the stuff that a lot of the ladies in this group are experiencing, since I know we have several homeschoolers in this group, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And in terms of how I started talking about these things, well, I started talking about these things because I, as God does, I was the poster child for someone who needed all of these things. He had to really get my attention in 2017 when I nearly lost my life to, and I don't say that to like to exaggerate, had some very serious medical things happen to me that came out of the blue that doctors had no idea where they came from or why they happened. But looking back, they saw the high levels of stress, the lack of emotional processing that I was doing. There was a lot going on under the surface and I just kept pushing it down and not dealing with it and didn't know how to deal with it. I was afraid of it. And as a good Christian woman, like, I'm not supposed to feel those things. I'm just supposed to be joyful. I'm just supposed to like keep going. Right. And yeah. Never learned any tools on how to deal with it. So after going through that horrific experience in 2017, spent 9 months in bed recuperating, God told me there will be a second chance for you. Like, cause there, I had dissections in my neck, my arteries dissected, two of them. Yes. So I didn't even know that was possible, but an aneurysm is where the vessel blows outward. A dissection is where it collapses inward, is what had happened after just all of this happening in my life. Had some strokes, things like that, got through all of that. But God said, you need to really deal with the root of what's going on here. And that's more than just getting more sleep or even just journaling more, whatever. It's like, why do you feel so much that you have to stuff all this down, that you have to be perfect, that you can't ever have any stress show? Like, why do you feel like that? There's something going on. Anyway, as I started digging into that, I realized that I knew all the right things that God said about how I'm supposed to give it to him. I'm supposed to surrender my fear. I don't need to worry. But I was living from a very different reality and realized that some of the women I'd been talking to, and I wasn't formally coaching at that point, but I'd been working around women and doing women's things. A lot of them dealt with the same stuff where like a lot of us just feel like we know these verses, but why can't we live like this? There's something going on between that disconnect. And understood as I dug into it more, there's actually a lot of brain science happening here where we can believe something subconsciously and have it reinforced through several patterns in life and logically believe something different. And so as I began digging into that, I realized this is where I feel God calling me to help women. Became certified in neurocoaching, again, started coaching and doing that work. And this is what I love to do now, is to help women really understand on a surface level, like, how do I just deal with the frustration of, you know, whatever happened today with my kid or whatever, but also some of the deeper stuff, anxiety, perfectionism, people pleasing. How do we get to the root of that and really move forward as women? So that's a little bit about me and the work that I do.
Well, that sounds amazing. What I love so much is as you're talking, you're sharing about how the mental stuff that was happening inside your brain impacted you physically so deeply, and how you discovered also that there is science behind these things that God has already talked about. And I always love finding out that, you know, these words that have been handed down to us for thousands of years
God knew what he was talking about. Yeah. And science is just catching up now and realizing, oh, when we do these things or when we follow along in this way. But we can also not be afraid of science and how it can help us move forward in our faith and in our lives as well. So I love this linkage between faith and science. And
I would love to share about that because I'm really glad you said that. Sometimes people push back on the side of, well, you talk about science and brain science and things like that. And it's like, I think about it in the same way that if I was to go to a cardiologist, like, for example, I had to take my daughter to the gastroenterologist this morning. If I just went to that doctor's appointment and he walked in and said, well, he didn't check her out. He didn't have any kind of knowledge about how the body works. And he just said, I just feel that she needs to just take this medicine. We'd be like, what are you talking about? So when we understand how God made our bodies, it's not in conflict with how he is. We're understanding more about his creation. And so I feel like as we learn more about our mind and our body, we're able to know how to better align that with who he wants us to be. It's almost like part of our sanctification, learning and growing who we're supposed to be in Christ is about learning about our body and about learning how to get in line with what God's promises say it needs to be. So yeah, I appreciate that. And I'm glad we're on the same page with that because I just think it's a tool to better understand how he made us.
Absolutely. Well, and I can't remember which catechism it is, somewhere some catechism talks about the book of God's words and the book of God's works, and both of them work in tandem. And so obviously we learn some deeper things from the words, but there are so many truths that we can learn about the Bible and about God from nature. And we are part of nature.
We are
the physical world, so that we can learn about God as well, even from what we learn about our bodies. My son, my youngest, has been doing human anatomy this you know, he's in like fifth grade, so he's doing that at a pretty basic level. But I'm constantly flabbergasted by the way that God wove our bodies together so perfectly and all these systems working together, and it can bring us to worship. Anyway, so you were in that time where you were overwhelmed and burned out and your blood vessels were doing their thing. It caused you to be in bed for 9 months. How did you get out of that place? Share some of the things that God taught you during that time.
Well, I think we all need to hit our own rock bottom when dealing with this kind of stuff. And for me, I'd had people tell me for years, you're pushing too hard. How are you not, you know, frustrated by this? Or are you dealing with XYZ? And my answer was, I'm fine. I'm doing, like, I had to be strong. I was a mom. We were all homeschooling at that time. My husband had been out of work for 18 months. There was many things happening, many, many layers to what was going on. And it was just like, I didn't have a choice. I just needed to keep going. So I understand that mom who says, that's really nice that you can feel the feels, but I need to show up. And I think that there's a balance. I think we have to be the strong ones, especially moms holding the family together sometimes through these hard things. But there also is a place where we have to be filled to be strong. Kind of a side note, but my daughter went through a period of suicidal ideation and bulimia and anorexia about 3 years ago. And she's spoken about that on my podcast, so I can share that publicly. I realized during that time, this was after I had gone through all this stuff, but I needed to support me when she was in the hospital and she was going through all of this. I needed that time. It wasn't a luxury. I needed to be with God and to just spill my guts about my fears and what I was feeling. I needed to be with him in order to go and be strong for her and keep just begging the Lord for her life. I needed to be that person. So that journey for me was obviously something I never want to go through again. It was not easy. It was very, very painful. However, I do know that it was the thing that God needed to do to get my attention, to move me to a new place in ministry, but also to change me and change my life. And there are still moments where I think, oh, I just want to kind of do things over here, or do things this way. And God is like, do we need to go back there? Like, I'll get a little bit of a headache or something will happen. And it's just like, okay, yes, you're right, Lord. No, we're not. This is how we need to be. So I really think the question I ask a lot of times, anyone I'm talking to or working with, is you can talk about emotions or how to deal with anxiety or all these things that we feel overwhelmed, things like that. But the real issue is that we have to be tired enough of living like this in this situation enough to do the work to get out of it and learn a way to process and learn how to work through what we're feeling. Because in some way, we know that we're frustrated and we're broken, but we're smart people. We're like, oh, I don't want to even touch that, you know, but we have to get to this place where we realize I am more frustrated with that than I am fearful of what could happen as if I start looking at that stuff. That's really the place where change happens. And no one can get us to that place until we are at that place. That makes sense. So I had to get to that place physically. God tried to talk to me about it for years and years. And then it was like, yeah, girl, you ain't got no other option. Here you are in bed. Let's go. You know, there's nothing else happening. We have to work through this. So, yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. So let's imagine that you are in that place. I know that you talk about kind of a three-step system in your book. Can you give us kind of like an at a glance?
Yeah. No problem. So as I began coming out of that and dealing, more specifically with that in coaching with women, I realized that as we were working through emotions together, there really was a pattern that followed along with what the science was saying needed to happen and with how God invites us into processing our feelings. And there really wasn't anything that I saw out there that was able to say the same thing. And so I started coming up with this acronym. It's called ADD, and it's not ADD like the normal ADD we're familiar with, but ADD, the ADD method, as a way to help my clients just have a tool to know how to deal with what they're feeling. And I think that honestly is the thing. We all need just tools because no one's really taught how to deal with this stuff. So at a glance, the ADD method is three steps. You can use it in the moment as you're feeling something. You can use it as like on a long-term thing you're working through. But it starts first with the A, which is acknowledge. So we're simply seeing what's going on. We're saying it makes sense that I'm feeling this way because, or it's plausible I'm feeling this way because. And in this, we are not trying to like analyze what we're feeling. We're just seeing what it is. We're leaning into God's compassion in this place. We're not judging it. We're just sitting before God saying, this is where I'm at and it hurts. And he meets us there and he sees it with us because he understands we live in a broken world. So that's that first step. And honestly, that's the hardest step, I think, for a lot of Christians, because they just want to go straight to God. Just tell me what to do with this. And he says, I want to tell you what to do with it, but let me help you see it and unravel it first. Let me see it with you. And in order for the brain to really absorb it and want to do something with it, it needs to be seen, if that makes sense. So starting with A, acknowledging it, and then going to D, the first D is discern. So in light of what we're feeling, we don't want to just let our feelings take over everything. We have to obey God's truth. That's what we're called to as Christians. So we can ask the question or make the statement, it's true that ... and it's not true that. Because sometimes when we're feeling an emotion, it can feel true. Some of the things we're thinking, like she always says this and he'll never change about this. This is going to happen in this person's life, whatever. We can go down all these rabbit trails and they may feel real and God sees that, but he can help us say, right now, the truth is this. And it's not true that this. And so going back to that the word, the spirit that discerns and separates out, like going into a closet and getting rid of the stuff we don't need anymore. It's just saying, this is what I'm keeping. So that helps us. And that's where we're leaning into his clarity to discern what to do with what we're feeling. Then the last step is to decide. So we've seen we've felt it. We've seen what it's about and why it makes sense. We're seeing what's true in it. And now we're saying, God, what do you want me to do here? What is the next best step? And it can feel excruciating because when we take a step, we're committing to something. So it requires leaning into his courage for this. Just asking God, I need to surrender this to you because I don't know what the future is for this child. I don't understand how to help in this moment. I don't know what you want me to do, but I know that you want me to keep praying. You want me to keep showing up and keep loving, you know, whatever the situation is. So asking him for that next wise step. And the second part of that is, where will I emotionally dwell? And this is really important because we can process it and then go right back to the worry and the anxiety, right back to it. And God's like, okay, so using like that verse in Isaiah 26:3 that says he will keep in perfect peace those whose thoughts are fixed on him, and choosing what is the thought that I'm going to fix my thoughts on? What is the thing I'm going to think about and rest in? As I'm releasing, as I'm making this step, this is where I'm going to center my soul moving forward. So that's a really important part of it. That again, sometimes we get stuck in different parts or we can go back to different aspects of it, but that is the overall process that I teach and we talk about in the book, Emotional Confidence.
Yeah, that really resonates a lot with, I was doing some research on childhood anxiety for a long time because I had have a kid that has had a lot of anxiety. And those actually are pretty much the steps. They didn't use it as with that acronym, but you know, when I can tell that he's starting to kind of spiral into that anxiety. I'm like, wait a sec.
Yeah.
First, we have to acknowledge that this is our anxiety talking. We have to realize what we're feeling and that this is the anxiety talking. And then we have to look at what is the true thing about this situation and what is the untrue thing that your amygdala is trying to tell you right now about this, or, you know, lies from the enemy, or what, you know, however you want to phrase that, or whoever. Yeah. And then you have to decide what are you going to listen to?
Yes.
Are you going to listen to the truth and live in that? Or are you going to continue to listen to those lies? So it does, I feel like that for me, the hardest part is figuring out what the lie is, but maybe that's just with anxiety, because anxiety tells us a lot of lies.
It does. Yeah. I think the easiest place to start with what is true and what's not true, of course, is God's word. Is it, you know, that's a plumb line that's very easy to see. Is it in his word? Is this his character? Is this his promise for me? Yesterday, it's interesting, you're talking about anxiety. My daughter also struggles with anxiety, and we have a weekly time where we do a Bible study, and we were talking about, she had that first realization of the difference between conviction and condemnation, and how that voice of God sound, or not, well, the voice of God and the voice of the enemy, how that's different. And we were just talking about how you can see it, but then you have to decide what you're going to do with it. Like, is this the voice you're going to listen to that's saying all of these things? Or are you going to listen to the voice of truth? Usually the enemy is going to try to make us see that there's no hope in a situation. He's going to try to stick us into the future or leave us in the past. It's not going to put us in this moment. He's going to throw all these things, the what ifs and that sort of thing. So those are the first things that I look for too, is this hope focused, this voice I'm hearing? Because God's voice is always going to be focused on a solution out. Or is this keeping me spun in a future that I have no control over or I don't know about? So it's hard to discern, but I think the more that we do it, the easier it gets, because we have these same patterns. We have, oh gosh, what is it? It's like 80,000 thoughts a day, and like 60,000 of them are the same every day. Yeah, it's insane that there's a high percentage of them that are the same every single day. So we're creating these patterns in our head. So it's not like, and of course our enemy is not usually super creative. It's kind of the same things he does in us. So yeah, it can be tricky, but I think starting with some of those questions is helpful.
So I have a question for you. So let's say I'm not at rock bottom yet, but I do sense that maybe things are getting worse. Are there some tweaks I can make to my mindset to help me move forward in a healthy, godly way?
So not at rock bottom with anxiety, or what specifically?
Or with like any, you know, you were saying, you know, we often have to be at rock bottom in order to be willing to make change. Let's say that we don't want to get to that point.
Yeah, no, I mean, no one wants to get to rock bottom. It's maybe then a better way to say it is, are we willing to try something different?
Yeah.
Are we willing to do something that we can try? Yeah. I mean, the very first thing that I would say is just be willing to admit it and acknowledge it when you see it. Really. I mean, seeing it, acknowledging it, and not being afraid of it, seeing it as an invitation to see the Lord in everyday life. We all want to see God. We all want to see him in our everyday life. The simple things we always talk about. What if this is God's invitation to be real with you and sit with you and to feel his love? What if that's what this is, for him to take you deeper in your walk with him? You know, I think having gone through what I went through and learning about emotions now, I view them completely differently. I used to see them as annoyances, things I had to get rid of, things I didn't want to deal with. Because they were there, I was just like, oh, I don't have time for that, or I can't even focus on that, you know? And now that I see it from this perspective, and I have worked with God in this area to know this is an invitation to go deeper. This is just like an alarm going off in me. Lord, help me to know what to do with this. So starting with acknowledging, and then as you're acknowledging, being willing to say, I'm going to work around, I'm going to release this, I'm going to talk to God about it, I'm going to look for the truth, I'm going to do something like ADD. Even in the moment, I mean, you don't have to go for the jugular and start looking at, oh, I struggle with perfectionism and all these bigger things. I think the easier place to start is just in the everyday, using a tool like ADD to help you in the moment begin to see God and him as your partner as you're doing this. It does take intentionality. It does take
the ability to say, you know, I may not be able to process this in the moment, especially when I'm home with kids and life is crazy, but I do have a time where in the morning or at lunchtime or on a break where I can say, I'm committing to just let some of this out and see what God does with it. I don't have to have the answer behind it, but I'm just going to share it and be real with him about it.
I can see how we can avoid a lot of...
Yes.
Well, avoid a lot of these conversations that we need to be having with God because of our... I'm just thinking about all the distractions. Like if I, you know, go over to Instagram or I turn on a podcast or something, instead of being willing to sit in that and process that with God, it's going to probably bring me to that place where I am going to hit rock bottom if I'm not willing to deal with that. So we may need to deal with some of those things.
Yeah. And Christy, the thing is like we, when we don't know what to do with it, it's not only then do we have the issue of, oh gosh, that's icky. I don't want to touch it. And there's this distraction that's much more pleasing I'd rather do. We're like, I can't even go there because it's so overwhelming to even think about. So there's a lot of things working against us in this, which is why we have to have that decision made of there's something that God is calling me to deal with. This is not how he's called me to be. Overwhelmed, stressed, freaking out all the time. It's having an impact on me. It may have an impact on my health. Who knows? It may not. Obviously not my story is not everybody's story, but for nothing else, God called me to not live like this. And so what if I began just seeing something a little different? I have to have that inner discipline to say, okay, I would rather just go have a cookie or go scroll on Instagram or whatever to deal with the frustration. And the thing is that our body is made to release the stress. It'll release the stress in those ways, kind of, sort of, like eating junk food, it kind of sort of fills us up, but not ultimately in the long run, it's still building. And so we get to be not just animals reacting, we get to be Christ-led souls who are deciding, this is how I want to live. God called me to a higher calling. And so I can put down my phone. I can turn off that show. I can say, you know what? Mom's going to go outside for 10 minutes. I'm going to let you guys sit here and play by yourselves, or the big brother's going to watch, or whatever. Like, we're good because I need to deal with this. I need to just go sit in the bathroom and write on my journal. Like, who knows? Whatever you need, you know, just something as a regular rhythm to begin. I'm taking control of this in my life and I'm doing something about it.
I love that. So we had a couple of questions where we were thinking about, like, how do we help our kids with this as well? So we had one who said, you know, how can I help my kids deal with anxiety around uncertainty? We kind of already touched on this a little bit when we talked about helping kids with anxiety. Yeah. Do you have any other helpful tips for helping a mom help her kid through that?
With uncertainty? Yeah, I think it's really important to talk to kids about uncertainty. I was talking to my 20-year-old about this weekend when he's got some different career options in front of him. And he's just like, I just feel all this stress about this decision. And I sense that he was saying, like, if I make the right one, then the stress will go away and my life will just go off into the sunset, right? I think that's the lie we all believe with every situation, whether it's like, my kid's going to be this age and then I'll feel stress-free, or we'll make the right decision and then I won't feel anything anymore. And I told him, you know, here's the deal. You're always going to feel a bit of uncertainty, unknowing about what's ahead in your future, because we don't know the future. And that's a normal reaction as a human. We are wired for comfort. We are wired for control. And we don't have that in this world. We don't. So this, again, does not mean you're broken if you feel uncertain and it makes you feel uncomfortable. It means you're made just how God made you. And in fact, that is the place where you go to God, and it's an invitation to talk and make him real, more than just the Sunday morning singing worship songs, listening to the sermon. This is the real God who wants to really know you and to know what you're dealing with in your heart and to walk with you in it. So I think it's an invitation to a deeper walk with God and a recognition that this is the way, part of life, and we need to learn how to live in that in between of knowing that he's in control but not knowing the outcome. It's the hardest thing for those of us who struggle with anxiety, because we just want sure outcomes. We just want to know. The thing is we can know that he is 100% faithful. We can know he's always with us. He's not going to always rescue us, but he's always going to walk with us in it. And these are opportunities, again, for our kids to have that ammunition in their lives. We cannot always just
we can give them the examples in our life, but they need to live it. They really do. They need to see his faithfulness when they step out, and that he is going to show up when they have this risky thing they're trying or trusting him for. Man, that's the faith building moment we want to give them, you know? So I would say, if a mom is dealing with that, to just be really open that some of the things that she's dealt with in her life, and to say, this is part of the journey. And I'm so glad that God is inviting you into this next level, because this is him helping you grow in him, you know?
I like that idea of the next level. Yeah. You're leveling up here.
Yes.
Relationship with God.
Leveling up. Yeah.
Okay. So we had another question, and I'm curious if you have some ideas for it. So somebody said that her child's immediately response to everything is anger. Now, I had that in my anxious child, and I came to realize that for him, it was actually anxiety that was causing him. It was like just bubbling up. And bubbling out is anger. But what are some mindsets that we could use for ourselves in those moments? Because when our kids are angry, we're tempted to fight back, right? And then our children to help work through something like that.
Yeah. Okay. So anger is usually the easiest emotion for us to feel. It is that reaction emotion. It's the surface level emotion. A lot of times there's a lot buried underneath anger. It's different for kids. And I'm not an expert in kids' anger, but I will say that kids' brains are not nearly as developed as ours are. And so we have to be careful as parents to time we're talking with our kids and their emotions, to recognize that they're not 30, 40, 50-year-old adults thinking through their emotions with not only the brain capacity, but a lifetime of experience often. And many of those, if we've been a Christian a while, experience with the Lord. So we feel like, why can't you just be mature about this? Like, why do you have to be angry, you know? Well, we have to understand that this is a brain that's not fully formed, and they are reacting in a way that it's just a reaction. It's just a response. That does not mean that it just makes it so easy for moms, right? I get that. I get that. We went through a phase with one of our kids where he dealt with a lot of anger. And I think it helps us have that compassion for understanding why it's there. And I would encourage that mom, I'm not sure what the age is of the child, but just to say, try to understand, not when the child is angry, but help him try to figure out what is going on. Is there something underneath that? That may take a child psychologist or someone to help them figure that out, or they may be able just to name it. Well, I'm really mad when you keep doing that, or I don't know, or, you know, it can be anything. But if we can just see that, like adults, kids are going to have these emotional explosions, but they're going to have a shorter fuse and ability to maturity to keep it calm. I always think of it as like, our job is to, if we have a pot of boiling water, the water inside the pot is our emotions. There's always going to be some sort of heat, might be low heat or high heat, but it's our job to keep that water from boiling over the top. That takes intentionality, that takes helping ourselves stay calm, that takes rest, time with the Lord. It takes all of those things. Whereas a kid, they're not as skilled in that. So we can teach them some of these calming things, you know, again, depending on the age, but we have to understand that they're going to have a lot less tools to be able to process it. So long answer, but I would say understanding about why they're responding the way they are, and seeing if they can verbalize what might be behind it, not in the moment. And if necessary, talking to someone who can help them unravel a little bit to see if there is something underneath there.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you so much. Do you want to tell us, I have a feeling that after this comes out, there's going to be some people who are like, I need to hear more of this. I need to hear more from Alicia. So can you tell us a little bit about what you offer as a coach, or about your book? And I know you have a podcast too. You kind of have all the things.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I have my book right here. So I'm going to say, here's my book. It's called Emotional Confidence. That's an easy place to start. That is where we talk about the ADD method. We talk about the brain science behind our feelings and our emotions. We take everyday emotions like anger, disappointment, I can't think of all of them, there's six of them, grief, other ones that we walk through in the ADD method. What are the kind of questions we can ask to work through that? Using ADD in relationships, how can we deal with emotions in relationships better? That's a great place to start if you want to learn more about that and everyday emotions. Another place is my podcast, The Christian Mindset Coach Podcast with Alicia Michelle. And yeah, we've definitely in the last probably year or so focused more on how do we deal with emotions in these very specific situations. Like, we're just finishing up in May, all of the emotions we feel as moms. I think this week is the week we talk about how do we
we have Kate Battistelli on, who just came up with a book called The After Party of the Empty Nest. And so we're talking about how do we let go of those decisions our kids are making when they're in their late teens and early 20s, that we're like, how do I deal with the emotions behind what you are doing? You know, where do we, how do we manage that? And we're talking about emotionally immature parents next week, you know, those kinds of things, applying emotions to everyday life, just definitely been hitting a nerve, I think, with listeners. So I'm excited to keep talking about that. But yeah, that's a great place. AliciaMichelle.com, and it's A-L-I-C-I-A, Michelle.com is where you can find out all about the podcast. I do have coaching and a membership group where we deal with these sort of things all the time and we talk about them in real time. But yeah, that would be the place to start for all the things.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank
this has been
you.
Really great.
Yes. Thank you so much.